I just want to talk a few minutes about praying the Word of God, because when we pray, God moves, and when we pray according to His will, He moves. But when we pray according to His will and we pray His Word back to Him, He moves in a mighty way. So actually, I actually have to grab one thing that I'm going to use as an example. But if you would go to Ephesians chapter 6 real quick, it's going to be up on the board up there. So we all know the scripture about the armor of God. And in the armor of God, there's only one physical weapon that we're given, and it's at the very end. And it says in verse 17, it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, most people end there with that period, but there's actually even some translations that the paragraphs are separated, but it's one continual thought. And he goes on into verse 18, and then he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So if the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, and we're to pray in the Spirit, then wouldn't it make sense for us to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, when we pray? Right? And that actual word in the Greek there, the Word of God, is the rhema word, which is the spoken Word of God. So think about this for a minute. When Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 was being tempted by the enemy in the wilderness, and he quoted scripture to the devil, he didn't pull out the scroll of Isaiah and say, whoa. That's not how it worked. He spoke the word back to the enemy, right? So there's a speaking of the word that happens, that rhema word, and when we speak the word of God in prayer back to him, there's an activation that happens in the Spirit. And so I was praying about this morning, just praying to the Lord about how to share this again freshly, and the Lord gave me a visual picture of what happens in the Spirit, because we don't get to see into the Spirit very often, but there's something that happens in the Spirit when we begin to pray God's word back to him. There's an activation in faith that happens. And so I'm going to use a cool little example. So I'm going to make a confession. Last night we were at prayer, and we were playing with a taser at our prayer meeting last night, and Tyler came in, and Jonathan wanted him to play a song, and he was being very disobedient, so I may have inadvertently threatened him with the taser last night and scared him. But so this is a good example. So imagine me, if I'm a pretty young lady, I'm a beautiful young girl, and I have my purse, and I'm walking along, and somebody comes to take my purse from me, and I get my taser out, and I poke it at them, but nothing happens. It's not going to do me any good, right? But if I take this, and I turn it on, and I push the button, that's what happens. So think about this for a minute. One more time. When I start praying in the Spirit, the Word of God, I start to activate something in the Spirit. I start to activate something by faith. And God begins to move, because God always backs His Word. If I'm praying His Word, He's going to back it, because God is not a man that He should lie. The flowers will fall, the grass will wither, but the word of the Lord endures forever, right? And so if you go to 1 John 5 real quick, 14 and 15, it says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. We have confidence. It says in Hebrews, it's Hebrews chapter 4, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. So then, because of this, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We can approach because of Jesus' finished work on the cross. We can enter into his presence boldly. When I go to my mom's house, I don't beg her. I don't say, you know, come in there scared. It's my mom's house. So I go in there, and if I want something to eat, I go to the refrigerator. I get something to eat. I make myself something to drink. I go lay in the bed if I'm tired. I don't have to worry if she's going to get on to me about it, because it's my mom. So how much more with our Heavenly Father can we approach his throne with confidence and a confident expectation that he has good things in store for us, and all we have to do is ask him. So in 1 John, it says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that what we have asked, we have of him. So, you know, there's no more sure way to pray God's will than praying his word. If God said it, he'll do it. So I'm putting God into remembrance of what he said. In the same way that if I tell my daughters to clean their room and to take out the trash and to put the dishes in the dishwasher and I'll pay them $5, they have a confident expectation that I'm going to pay them because I'm their dad and my word means a lot to them. And I'm jealous that my word would mean a lot to them. I wouldn't short them that money because then my word would mean nothing and I would lose their ear and they wouldn't hear what I have to say. Well, how much more if I am jealous for my own name, is our Heavenly Father jealous for his name? And if he says he will do it, he will do it. So I just want to model for 1 minute praying through the scriptures, meaning this, as I'm reading the word, I'm praying the word back to God. And more than just praying exactly what I'm reading, I'm also being, every time I read a passage, there's other passages that are jumping in my mind that the Lord has said about, the Lord has said this thing or that thing. And then I'm reminding the Lord, Lord, you said these things. So I want to model this, and I'm going to model it a little bit differently than I did Saturday. Saturday, I just kind of blew through it. But I want to kind of just express my thought pattern of what's happening as I'm doing this so that you can see what I mean by praying through the word. So this is a really good passage out of Acts chapter 4, verse 29 through 31. And the apostles had just healed the lame man at the beautiful gates. And then they're in the synagogue and they're teaching about Jesus. And then all the Pharisees come to him and they bring him before the Sanhedrin and they threaten them never to preach the name of Jesus again. So this is their response afterward. And this would be an example of praying through the scriptures. So it says, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So as I'm praying, I say, "Now, Lord, consider their threats." And I start thinking about that word threat. And I remember that the scripture says, "Lord, you said that you would make your righteous ones as bold as lions. Lord, you also said in your word that no weapon formed against us shall prosper." So I'm bringing that to your memory, Lord, that you said no weapon that was formed against me would prosper. You also said for us not to fear man who can kill the body, but to fear God who can kill the body and the soul. So I'm asking you, Lord, to enable me to speak your word with great boldness. Lord, I pray that you would give me the words of life and death on my tongue. You said that life and death is in the power of the tongue, and that we would eat the fruit of it. So I'm asking you, Lord, that you would give me a word in season to those that are weary, that I could sustain them in the time of need. Now I'm praying more scripture back to the Lord. That's out of Isaiah. So as I'm praying the scripture to him, I'm reminding him of words he said and things that he's promised that he would do. And then he go out to say, "Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." So Lord, I'm asking you, you said that the kingdom of God comes in power. Would you move in power in your kingdom? I thank you that you said that the works that you do, we will do, and even greater works will we do. So I'm praying back to the Lord. Remember that you have told us that the works that you would do, we would do. We're asking you, Lord, to use us faithfully to perform signs and wonders for your kingdom. And then it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. So I'm saying, Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, in the place of prayer, would you shake all that needs to be shaken? Would you set people free in the kingdom, Lord? I thank you that you come to heal the brokenhearted and to release those that are captive. So I pray you would shake everything in the spirit, Lord. And I'm asking you that we would all be filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord. It's your will. You said that those that walk by the Spirit shall be sons and daughters of God. And you ask us to keep in step with the Spirit. So we're asking you, Lord, to fill us right now and that we would speak your word boldly. So that's just a small example of praying through the scripture and kind of my thought process as I go. And your thought process might be a little bit different than mine. But as you're reading this, things are coming to the remembering. And remember, we have the interceding Jesus within us. He's interceding within us. And as we're reading, there's agreement. There comes an agreement with the Spirit of God in us. And we begin to pray back to the Lord, "This is what you've said." And we begin to activate in the Spirit, the Lord to move through our prayers, and we can have a confident expectation that he hears us when we pray according to his will, and we don't have to wonder if he's going to answer it. We can know that he's going to answer our prayer. So just encourage everybody to practice praying through the word of God. We're praying through the Psalms right now. We're on Psalm 39. If you want to jump in today, start praying tomorrow, Psalm 40, then 41, and you're just going through the Psalm, and it's more than just reading it, but it's praying the Psalms back to the Lord and saying, "This is what you have said, and now we know that you're not a man that you should lie, so we trust that you're going to fulfill this word, that your word will not return void." So that's my little demonstration of that to you this morning.